Thank the Lord. We've had some miracles here this morning. We are very thankful. We are bringing our third message on waiting and trusting. And we are looking to the Lord to bless it this morning and bring us to a place to where we can learn how to wait. And while we're waiting on the Lord, to really trust him while we're doing it. Not just waiting because we have no other option, but really put forth our effort to trust him in the middle of it. We can all wait when nothing can be done. In other words, nothing can change. I can't get any help any other way. And so we're waiting, but that isn't the kind of waiting that God looks down upon and smiles upon. It's the one where we're actively trusting him while we're waiting. And we talked about the first time, we talked about Saul, when he didn't wait on the Lord and what it brought upon all of the people of Israel, and how God didn't even want him to be king anymore, and he anointed somebody else. And then the second message was all about David, who was anointed to be king, but he waited 15 years before that happened. And in all that time, he was being chased, and Saul was trying to kill him, and he was going through all kinds of hardship. And yet, all through that time, he kept his integrity with God, and he never once changed his mind and raised his hand against Saul. And that was keeping his integrity. So now we want to talk this morning. We want to turn to the 37th chapter of Psalms. And this is written by David. And as I read it, I would say it was written by him possibly concerning all of his troubles with Saul, and all the things that he waited on, and all the things that he learned, and all the things that he saw, and all. And this is his, that he wrote this so that others might know and learn from his experience. And so in Psalms 37, starting at verse 1, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb." Now, David understood that that's what had happened to Saul. That's what had happened to his enemy, is that God had cut him down in his time and in his place. He had cut him down, and he was able to then go forward and be king. But what I want to look at in here, it says, don't fret. Do you know that David had to learn to do that? He had to learn not to fret. He's looking back on it now. He's looking back on it. He's seeing everything that he went through. And no doubt there were times that he did fret, that he wondered, is God going to come to my rescue? Is Saul going to finally catch up with me? These things naturally come to our minds when we're going through hard things. And so, but in this afterwards, as he's looking back, as he's seeing everything, he says, don't fret. Don't fret because of evildoers, those that are doing wrong, those that are doing you wrong, doing your family wrong, whatever is coming your way. Don't fret over those things. Don't be envious of people that are working iniquity. In other words, well, I wish I could act like they're acting. I wish I could say the same things they're saying. Don't be envious of all the things that are going on, because it says they shall soon be cut down. Wither is the grass. And he saw that happen to Saul. He wouldn't put his hands on him, but he saw that that happened to Saul. So he says, fret not. We have to learn to fret not, to not let it just go over and over in our minds and dwell on it and think on it and wonder about it. When we're going through things that God is allowing to come our way, we have to actively trust him. Instead of fretting and worrying and all these things, instead of doing that, we have to actively trust him. We have to keep reminding ourselves of who God is in those times. We have to say, Lord, you've never failed me. See, we have to remind ourselves that he's never failed us. Lord, you said in your word. Lord, you said this in your word. You said that in your word. We're reminding ourselves of what he has said. And we're also reminding God of his promises. You know, I depend on these promises, Lord. You gave them to me and I depend on them. That's actively, instead of fretting about what's going to happen next and what I'm going to go through and what it's going to feel like and all those things, actively trust the Lord and bring back to mind all of the things that are where God is worthy to be trusted. Because of why? Because you all have experiences in your life that tell you why he's worthy to be trusted. In the third verse, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He says, trust. This is David. He says, trust in the Lord. How did he learn that? Because of the long time that he went through. He went through things as a child, as a shepherd, and when he was fighting the lion and the bear for the sheep, and he learned these things as he fought Goliath. He learned these things as he went through with Saul and Saul trying to kill him. He learned. You can trust the Lord. He's looking back now. And he's writing this psalm as a remembrance of what he learned. And this is something that we need to do. We need to look back. He wrote this down and it was for our good. Imagine what you could write. What could you write down that you could look back on and talk about and tell people about? What could you write down? Our memories are very bad. They're very bad. We can't remember from hardly 1 week to the next. And sometimes from hour to hour, practically. So sometimes it would be us good to write down. There are many people that journal, write down their experiences. I when I was going through a really bad time one time, I began to just write down. I said, I don't know how the Lord's going to do this, but I know he's going to do something. I just started writing down every day. I go back and I read that now. And the miracles he did and the things he did over, I can't tell you them even right now as I'm sitting here. But I can get out that little book and I can read it and it all becomes alive again of what he did, you know. And even if you don't journal every day, but when God does something special for you, you should write it down. You should keep it somewhere. You should be able to go back and look at it and say, look, this is what he did for me. This is what I learned. How come I'm struggling right now? I already learned this. I already learned this right here. He already taught me this. I don't have to do this. So it's trust in the Lord. Do good that thou shalt dwell in the land. Do you know that David, he was dwelling in the land. It wasn't a good place. He was in caves. He was running for his life and everything. But he was still alive. He was still alive. And all that. And he says, and thou shalt be fed. And I was reminded of when he went to the priest and asked for food. And the priest gave him the shewbread, what was illegal for him to do. It was not legal. But do you see what God did? He said, listen, he'll feed you with things you're not even supposed to have. You're not even supposed to have it, and he's going to feed you with it. You're not even supposed to have that. Medical science would say, Sister Dolores shouldn't even have an arm that works right now. That's what they would say. He'll give you things that people say you can't even have, but you can have them. God can bring it to pass. So it's trust. In the fourth verse, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Do you know that David, running for his life, hiding in caves, not having enough food sometimes, and looking for, you know, looking here and looking there, and he ended up even taking food and things and shelter from enemies, cross borders, and took shelter and things in lands that were enemies of the kingdom. He did all those things. He says, but what did he say? Do you think that was a delightful time? Do you think that he was just happy and he was just having no problems at all? And all See, sometimes we feel like that when we're going through our hard times and our struggles or our illnesses or whatever's coming, we think that we're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be, oh, just on top of it. That isn't what it means. He didn't say, oh, I'm so delighted. That isn't what he said. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. See, don't delight yourself that I'm hurting and I'm in trouble and I have these problems. You don't delight in those sunny things. Nobody can delight in those. But what you delight in is the Lord. Yes. The God. You delight in him. You remind yourself about his goodness, about his, the way he works, the miracles he's done. You delight yourself in him. You don't dwell on what we're going through. If we dwell on what we're going through, it's going to be harder. It'll be harder. You know how it is. If you dwell on something that's hurting and you just think about it all the time, it just hurts worse and worse and worse. But when you start dwelling on somebody else, something else, a little while later, you say, oh, I haven't even noticed it hurting. Why? Because your mind goes to a different place. David is saying, delight yourself in the Lord. I wasn't delighted all those years, those 15 years I was running. I wasn't delighted, but I was delighted in the Lord, how he helped me over and over and over to say when Saul was in my hand, I delighted in the fact that over and over and over, I was able to say, no, I'm not going to touch you, Lord. I'm not going to touch him. David knew that wasn't in him. He realized that wasn't all in him. That isn't in our human nature to do that. And he says, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. See, if you delight in the Lord, then he gives you the desires. Oh, sometimes we get it confused and we think, this is what we think. Well, if I delight myself in the Lord, then he's going to take me out of this trouble. See, that the desire of our heart is to get out of the trouble. Yeah. But that isn't what David is saying here. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. And while you're still in the midst of the whole thing, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. He's going to do something inside of you and do something to help you and bless you inside. Yes. He's going to give you the desire, the ability to bear it, the ability to go through it, the ability to love in the midst of it, the ability to forgive in the midst of it. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. See, because out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the heart, that's where your soul is. That's where your soul is. It speaks out of the deep desires in your heart. So our desires have to be right. So we delight when we're going through these things. We delight ourselves in the Lord, that our desires in our heart can be right. Mm-hmm. See, the desires in our heart. Oh yes, the troubles are bad and we want out. And God is going to see us through those. But what's he really working with? He's working with us. Yeah. He doesn't let these things come for no reason. Right. It isn't just chance and accidents and lucky or unlucky. That isn't what's happening. We are the saints of the Most High God. He knows where every step we take. He knows every step we take out of order. He knows every step we take in order. He knows every time we advance the way we should. He knows every time that we stand still and retreat a little bit because we're a little afraid. He understands it all. So we delight ourselves in the Lord when we're going through these things. And then he gives us the desires down deep in our heart. In the fifth, you know, and in those days, I was thinking about how that David was running those 15 years. But do you know that they had wives, they had children, they had families that were with them, that were running with them, that were encamped with them? They weren't completely comfortless. They had their families, and they had some good things that were happening to them while they were running. They had God in the midst of the terror of this man is trying to kill me. In the midst of that terror, they had happiness. They had wives and children and they had family structure. See, we have that. We have that. We have much to be thankful for. In the fifth verse, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Oh, commit, commit. Saying, Lord, you know the way that I take. Lord, I know you looked this over. I know you saw what was coming before it came. I know last week you saw I was going to go through this. I know you see everything. And I just commit myself to your way. Whatever you're doing, I'm in agreement with. Do we like it? No, I don't think it's required that we like things. It's just required that we trust the Lord through it.
Amen.
That's what's required, that we trust the Lord. Nobody likes pain. Nobody likes misery. Nobody likes setbacks. Nobody likes accidents. Nobody likes their washing machine to break down. Nobody likes these things. And it would be silly to say, oh, praise the Lord, jump up and down, my washer is broken. That isn't what this is talking about. This is talking about delight yourself in the Lord. He gives you the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light and thy judgment as the noonday. David is talking about we're going to be tried and tested what we have on hand. Why do we have to be tried and tested? Doesn't God already know what we have on hand? Who's he's trying to show? He's trying to show us what we have on hand. It's not about what he knows. He already knows it. But he wants you to know it. And so what David learned was, is that if you just commit these things and you trust in the Lord, he's going to bring to pass whatever it is that you need, whatever you need to go through. And he's going to bring it to pass to get on the other side of it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as light and thy judgment as the noonday. In other words, he's going to bring forth righteousness in us. The whole idea of waiting and trusting on the Lord is to work something in us. It's not about that we're going to do something special for God. It isn't that. It's what he's doing special in us as we're committed to the Lord's way, even when it doesn't feel good, even when it seems like one thing after another, after another, after another. It doesn't matter because God already knows that's what our life is going to be like. He already knows that's what's coming. He already knows that. In the seventh verse, it says, rest in the Lord. You know how all these things you're doing, you have to do them in the Lord. Are you listening to these scriptures here? Every one of them is saying you have to do them in the Lord. Why? Because we're not strong enough to do it ourselves. But we can commit things with the Lord's help. We can take delight in the Lord with the Lord's help. We can trust him. We can learn to fret not with the Lord's help. We can rest with the Lord's help. It says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Oh, so many thoughts and ideas are wasted in our minds. Yes. Worrying about what somebody else is doing, what somebody else is getting away with. I know of a person that said, well, it seems like they get away with everything. I have to always ask forgiveness and I always have to confess my faults, but it seems like they never have to do anything. They just get away with it. And I tried to tell them, they're not getting away with anything. God has got the book. He's writing down the things that are done in the body. Nobody's getting away with anything. Can it look like they're getting away with it? It looked like Saul was getting away with it, didn't it? It looked like he was getting away with it. For 15 years, he was getting away with it, so to speak. But during that time, What happened to his mind? His mind was tortured.
Right.
His mind was tortured, you know, up and down and all around. And we're not told everything that went through his mind.
True.
We're just told little glimpses of it. But that he was a tortured man, tortured man. And he and all of his sons lost their lives in the same day, same battle.
Yes.
Lost it all. Mm-hmm. Took it all. And all along, he knew he was headed there. Do you know he knew he was headed there? He knew better. But he didn't turn. He didn't turn and humble himself. At any time, he could have turned and humbled himself. He could have gone to the prophet and said, I relinquish the kingdom. I give it up. You've anointed somebody else, and I am willing for them to take. I have done wrong. I have this. What kind of difference would it have made? He and his sons probably would have all lived. But he didn't do that. But he's telling us, David is telling us, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Don't fret, because the evil that has come upon you, it's going to go away. Some people say, well, I've been going through an awful lot, and it seems like it's staying. And as I get older, it just seems like I'm going through more and more and more. But there's a day coming, isn't there?
Yes.
There's a day coming that it's all going to be gone.
Amen.
It's all going to be gone. And we don't have to. We're going to get deliverance. Just like the three Hebrew boys said, that we know that God may not deliver us from the flames, but he's going to deliver us from your hand.
Right.
See, they knew if they went in there and they were burned up, they were out of his hand. He wouldn't have anything else he could do with them. And they knew that they would be worshiping their God and being with their God in the end. So they understood it. They understood that, and that's what we should understand in this life, that we're all going to suffer some things, and we're all going to go through some things, and we're going to carry some things up until the day we pass out of here. We're going to carry some things. And the older we get, the more things we're going to carry. It's just the way God intended it. And as we do that, don't you know, he says, just rest, wait patiently, don't fret, because he's going to deliver us. He's going to bring it to pass. And we don't have to worry about what anybody else is getting away with.
True.
God is going to take care of all that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sometimes we want to have a little something happen. In the 8th verse, it says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now listen, whenever David came up to a place where Saul was in his hand, the Lord helped him to say, I will not touch him. But I want to tell you something. David had thoughts.
Yes.
He was human. He wasn't superhuman. He couldn't even live above sin in those days. You know he had thoughts. See, he had thoughts. He said, cease from anger. He had some anger things. No doubt there was anger. Here he was turning him loose every time, and Saul just kept chasing him every time he turned him loose. Do you know we're going to have to deal with our anger about things? And sometimes we don't realize it, but we can be a little angry with God. We would never say that out loud. And we would never think that in our minds. But our attitudes sometimes can be, we're already going through this thing, and then we get up in the morning and I can't hardly walk. Something's wrong with my ankle. What's wrong with my ankle? And it's like, ugh. See, anger. You know, see some anger there. Like, really, I have to have this too. You're not saying that to God, but you're acting. I mean, we would say, if we were watching a child do that, what would we say about them? See, but where are we? What are we doing? So we're going to have to deal with our anger, even the anger that we don't say is against God. But if God is our master and he's the one that allows these things, and we know he allows them, and then we go, ugh. Then we're a little bit angry with God. We may not call it that.
That's right.
It says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Oh, forsake wrath, cease anger. Oh, there are so many trials that we go through that other people are involved in. Mm-hmm. Those around us. And they can cause us some real heartaches, some real trials, some real tests. They can do this. That's what was happening to David. But he learned something. He's looking back now, and he's trying to give us some advice. I know I went through this for 15 years. Let me tell you something, he says. Cease the anger. That isn't going to get you anywhere. It isn't going to help you at all. Forsake wrath. Quit thinking about, oh, if this could happen or that could happen, or I should tell them, or I wish I could, or I did. You see, forsake all the wrath. And fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Oh, people waste so much time in their minds thinking about all the things that they're never going to do, but they'd like to. If they could get away with it, or if they wouldn't suffer for it, or, well, I know I think about all these things. And I go, well, I know I shouldn't be thinking about these things. And then I'm thinking about these, and I know I shouldn't be thinking about these things. But see, there's a little bit of pleasure. See, there's a little bit of pleasure in thinking of the downfall of your enemy. Don't you know that David had to fight all these things? Yeah. That's why he's teaching us here. And he's telling us, cease from it. Isn't going to help you. And why? Why isn't it? He gives us the answer. He said, the reason why. For evildoers shall be cut off. And those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Don't worry about all of that. That's all going to be cut off. Well, it may not be cut off right now for you. They may still treat you bad. It may not be cut off for those around you. That may not happen. It may not be cut off from the evil that comes from the government onto its people. That may not be cut off, but they will be cut off. You don't have to worry about it. There is going to be a cease, an end, a finish to it. And it says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Mm-hmm. They're going to inherit the earth. And many times when it says inherit the earth, they're talking about the new heavens, the new earth. They're talking about heaven. They're talking about our eternal home. They're not talking about this earth here. But I'm going to tell you something. Even here, we can get some inheritance right here. See, we get a portion. We get that little bit of whatever right here. When people are trying to do us in, it's just like if somebody comes in and they rob you in your house and they take away all your things and you have all these thoughts. You have all these, you know, don't worry. Don't be angry, wrath. Don't think about the evil, whatever. Just know this, they're going to be cut off. Mm-hmm. And wait on the Lord, you shall inherit the earth. And many times what happens is God restores more than you had before. God gives you something beyond what you could have gotten. God gives you, in the midst of something like that, he can give you a new friend. He can put you in touch with somebody new that you maybe can lead to the Lord. Is that a blessing or what? In the midst of all of that, what is the richest blessing? The fact that they got some of my stuff, or I found or I met somebody that I've been able to talk to and lead to the Lord. And the Lord allowed the whole thing for me to be able to be in touch with this person. And I can't, and I'm so fretting and angry and wrathful. I can't even see the wisdom of how God put this all into play so that it could come out over here. God, we have to wait patiently. We've got to trust him while we're waiting. In 10 and 11, it says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently search his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. See, evil gets its reward.
Yes.
And the meek get their reward. And God wants us to understand this. While you're going through, be careful about what's happening inside your heart.
Yeah.
What's happening in here, that it's staying soft and peaceful and meek and humble. And make sure that in the midst of all of it, that's where it is.
Yeah.
In the 14 and 15, it says, "The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bowels shall be broken." Haven't we seen that happen? It's kind of another way of saying, you reap what you sow. See, you reap what you sow. The things that you intend people, and people intend to hurt other people with, happens to them. What happened to Saul and all of his sons? Mm-hmm. Their intention was to kill David, mm-hmm. to keep the throne, mm-hmm. so they could have passed down through his sons. He intended all that. But what happened? The very sword that he wielded against another, mm-hmm. the one he kept chasing down, the one he kept trying to kill, the one that he was wrathful with and all, what happened? In the end, it pierced his own heart. That's what got his heart.
Yeah.
While we're waiting, we have to realize there is an end to everything.
Yes.
And though there may be wicked people around us, maybe there's wicked things happening to us, maybe even just bodily things that are happening to us that are not pleasant and not easy to go through at all.
Yeah.
But just know this, that how we go through, it means everything to the Lord. It means everything to him. He understands exactly what we need. He understands what to put us through. He understands what to help. Sister Dolores did not know that it was for God's glory that she had a hurt shoulder. She didn't know it was for God's glory. She didn't understand that. She didn't understand it when she came in here today. She sat on the altar and was anointed and prayed for. She didn't understand it was all for God's glory. She wanted to be out of it. She wanted to be free of it. Of course we do. But then God came in on the scene, took it all away in an instant, a moment of time. And she's been suffering for days. In an instant moment of time, all for God's glory. Don't you know that the things we are going through, many, many times, most of the time, are for God's glory. They're not for our glory. So quit trying to get yourself in a place where, oh, I need to figure this out, and I need to figure that out, and I need to figure out what's wrong with me and everything. You're trying to take, so to speak, the glory of it. You're trying to say, oh, the Lord did this, but I figured out what was wrong and what was happening to me, and the Lord blessed me, and oh, I thank the Lord. But really, you're taking it because, oh, I figured it out. I understood. I got something. But that isn't what God is after. It's his glory. It's all his glory. So then in 23 and 24, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." So while we wait and trust, God is holding our hand through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's holding our hand. I think sometimes as we're going through, this is what we do. We get so encumbered with what we're going through,
true,
that we drop the Lord's hand.
Yes.
You know, we don't touch the Bible. We don't get on our knees. We're just suffering. We're just going through it. When God wants to just go through with us, he wants to hold our hand. He wants to comfort us with his word. He wants to fill us and enlighten us and lift our burden as we pray to him. But instead, we spend all of this mental effort in our minds dealing with the problem, dealing with the sickness, dealing with the pains, the hurts, the burdens. We spend all this mental time when we can just hold the Lord's hand, and we can just read his word, and we can just pray and get comfort. Sometimes we pace the house. We're worried. We're thinking. We're this, and we're thinking, and we're thinking, and we're thinking, and back and forth and pacing the house. And we may do that for a whole day, and it comes down to the end of the night, and we finally just throw ourselves on our knees and say, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I need help. Can you just imagine what the Lord is thinking at that moment? I've been here all day. You could have come to me earlier. We could have had this talk. We could have had this time together. You could have opened the word earlier. I could have given you this scripture 8 hours ago. But you didn't open the word. I could have comforted you and flooded you with peace as you prayed, but you didn't come. You tried to pray on your feet, pacing. You know what I'm saying? Fretting and pacing, and you're trying to pray on your feet. What is that? It's knowing to do good and doing it not. That's what that is. When you're walking and fretting and trying to pray at the same time, it's knowing to do good. In other words, I know I should be praying, but I can't help myself. I'm still fretting. So I know what to do, but I can't make myself get down and just let it go and get humble before God.
Yeah.
Okay, then we want to talk in 38, 39, and 40th verse. It says, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord will help them, deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Because why? Because they trust in him. That's why he delivers. Because they trust in him. He's saying, don't worry about all the evil and all the things around. Don't worry about that. I'm taking care of that. That'll be cut off. Don't worry. He says, but you, I'm your strength in time of trouble. Why are you fretting? See, why are you unrestful? Why can't you rest? Why are you not trusting me? I'm your strength in these times.
Yes.
Do you know the times that you've been going through something and all of a sudden you'll feel just strengthened to just go through it, and you'll start getting scriptures in your mind, and you'll start feeling a lifting of the burden and all these things. That's just the Lord. You didn't get that. That didn't come out of your reserves.
No.
That came from the Lord.
Yes.
So our strength in all these battles, and this is what David is telling us. Listen, in all the battles, I look back over the time, those 15 years when I was running from Saul. My strength, you were my strength in the time of trouble. There may have been times that he thought he was pretty strong. There may have been times that he had his men and they were strong and they were this and they were that. There may have been times that he felt pretty good, but he looked back. He's looking back now over all this and he's saying, you know what? I've learned something. I've learned you were my strength all along. God was my strength all along. Isn't that what we learn?
Yeah.
So why is it when we go into the next trial and test, why do we forget that he's our strength? Why do we think we have to buck up and we have to do something and we have to get tough and we have to, no, he's our strength. We just yield to him. We trust him. See, while we're waiting, we have to trust. We have to actively trust. We have to make ourselves. We have to realize that, and when I say make ourselves, I mean we realize we need it and then we seek God for it, and that's how we make ourselves. Because you can't make yourself get over something. You can't do that. It's only God that can help you to do that. But you can know you need to get over it. You can know that. And then you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I have to get over this. I have to have victory in this. I have to have peace here. I have to have these things. And I'm trusting you. And it has to be active. It has to be active, something that happens inside of your heart.
Yeah.
And he delivers us because we trust in him. How many times has it been that the Lord takes you through and you're fretting and you're going and you're doing, and you don't know what to do and on and on and on. And you finally say, oh Lord, I just trust you. I can't carry this. It's too much for me. I trust you to do it.
Yeah.
And then the Lord comes in on the scene. So what was he waiting for? He was waiting for you to trust him. In the midst of our storms and our trials and our tests, while we're waiting on the Lord, because the Lord doesn't come quickly, he works things out like it should be worked out. We would work it out too quick, but he works it out like it should be worked out. So we can be very thankful that we have the Lord to trust in when we're going through these things, because the world is going through the same things we are. They have the same illnesses. They have the same troubles with their families. They have the same hurts. They have the same everything. And what don't they have? They don't have the Lord. They don't have his strength. They have a tormentor, the enemy of their souls, egging them on, pushing them further, making their hate more, keeping them angry. Is it any wonder that we have all of the violence we have today? Because the devil's just keeping people angry, angry, angry.
It's true.
The only way we get rid of all those things in the midst of trouble is through the Lord. So David is teaching us a lesson.
Yeah.
Why? Because he learned them. See, he learned them. That's why he could write about it. And see, that's why we can write about things sometimes, because we learned it. And that's why we can tell others about it, because we learned it. Through the Lord, we learned it. So while we're waiting, we have to actively trust. Not a passive trust that's, oh, I'm just trusting the Lord. I'm just trusting. No, active trust, where I seek the scriptures and I seek the Lord in prayer. And I remind him of his promises, and I remind and thank the Lord for all the things he's brought me from in the past. Listen, we can't even quote all the things God has done for us. We have forgotten most of them. Really, we've forgotten most of them. If somebody were to say to you, what happened to you last year? What did the Lord do for you last year in the month of May? You don't even know. You don't even know. But he did something. He actually answered some prayers in the month of May. But you don't remember. We have to trust him. Actively trust the Lord while we're waiting on him. Amen.
And that's it then. Song.